Norman Mills, and I thought I would follow in Adam's example a couple of weeks ago. I see he's not here this morning, because he described himself as a bit of a womanly man. So I thought, right, well, how does that make me, you know, am I a manly woman? And I don't think really I am, like, so hope I'm not anyway. And I would describe myself as somewhat of a womanly woman, right? Okay, I like cooking, and I like entertaining, and I like makeup, and I like sewing and knitting and reading. But I'm not a womanly woman in that I really hate talking about my feelings. So please don't come and ask me about my feelings, all right? Because I'm not very good at talking about my feelings. Many a counsellor's tried and failed to get me to talk about my feelings. So so I thought I would start this morning with, in 2012, Men's Health magazine asked their readers the question, what are the most important things you look for in a woman? Okay, so these were the top 11 answers. Okay, so laugh at their jokes, fair enough. 2 to 4 years younger. Okay, so they always like them just a wee bit younger. The next one, smiles. Well, that's easy enough. That's easy enough. Okay, keep going. Now, there's one that's a big surprise, ladies. Now, you would never have expected to see that one on the list, would you? Okay, keep going. Keep going. Okay, right, so I think we're getting a bit of a Barbie vibe coming on here, right? Okay. Now, I thought this was has a career and makes money. Now, whether that's so that they can pack in their career while you're out making all the money, I don't really know. Okay, so what, we're at 6. So number 7, little feet. So we've got these long legs and little feet. Again, Barbie vibe is definitely coming on here. Okay, keep going. Educated. Well, that's good. So at least when you're arguing, at least you can put all your arguments together in a cogent way. Where's red? Don't know about that. There must be something about the color red. One more. Narrow hips. Again, Barbie rocks. Is there any more? And brown hair. Okay. Is that the last one? Okay. So there we have this Barbie-esque figure, the only thing you kind of maybe would have expected, blonde. So now I wondered, were you surprised by any of those? I know there was a couple of them that surprised me a little bit, because I'm sure, like most of us, we all have our stereotypes and our expectations on the opposite sex, and we place them on all kinds of groups, on old people or people from other cultures. We kind of do like to slot people in. It's a human thing. We like to have everything organized so that we can understand it. And similarly, we place expectations on ourselves as women and men. Okay, I'm not going to exclude the men from this morning. And those expectations aren't necessarily helpful or healthy or godly. You know, like me, I'm sure when you saw that list, you kind of smiled and rolled your eyes a little bit. But I wonder, in Christianity, do we have a Christian top 10 desirable female attributes? And I was trying to think what they might be. I thought one of them might be makes great tray bakes. You basically can't be saved unless you can make tray bakes. Is that not right? Ruth Patterson, queen of the tray bakes, that girl, her family can make tray bakes like you wouldn't believe. You have to enjoy working with children. You have to really like working with children. You have to be able to organize fundraising. See, Penny is actually the perfect Christian woman there, so she can do all that. And maybe not the tray bakes, Penny, eh? And, can organize fundraising and do all that. Never misses a prayer meeting, because on all of this practical side, you've also got to be very spiritual. So you're always at the prayer meeting, you're always at the Bible study. You can do everything in the home. And in the modern world, you have to be able to hold down a great job. And as well as doing all of that, you're getting up early to read the Bible and pray. And pray with your children. And also your children have to grow up and to be wonderful, godly, you know, men and women because of everything that you have done. And I'm sure you can think of more of those. And so we've got these expectations, which aren't, not that these things are necessarily anything wrong with them, but we impose them upon ourselves and we almost set ourselves up to fail. The reality is, if any of these things that we do are about making God pleased with us or how we look to other people, that's really all about works. Because it's not flowing out of a relationship with him. It's flowing out of an expectation that we've placed on ourselves or that other people have placed upon us. And what often happens with that is it actually drives people away from God and not towards him. Because isn't this all supposed to be about grace? 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Too often we have allowed and sometimes even encouraged culture and religion to determine our view of God and our view of ourselves as his children. Mirrors in the first century were actually quite common in Roman homes. The Romans were obsessed with their appearance. You know, we all learned in school about the Roman baths and about the grooming and all the sort of things that they did. So they actually developed mirrors, but the mirrors were often made out of beaten copper or bronze. And so they kind of gave a bit of a distorted view. They weren't just 100% like the mirrors that we have today. You couldn't really use them for close examination. So how you thought you looked wasn't necessarily the absolute truth of the matter. Now, there's a condition known as body dysmorphia, which some people who suffer from anorexia and some other mental health issues can have. And basically, it means that when they look in the mirror, they don't actually see their true reflection. Their mind distorts what that they actually see. So somebody who's maybe suffering from anorexia nervosa will look in the mirror and will see this person who is overweight, who has got puffy cheeks or fat legs or whatever, and it actually has no bearing on the reality of the matter. And what they do is their behavior is dictated by the response that they make to this distorted image that they see in the mirror. And the way that they behave in reaction to that distorted reality only changes as they are helped to see themselves as they truly are. And when they start to see themselves as they truly are, then they can start to receive the help that they need to get better. Now, the problem is sometimes with us in our relationship with God is that we look in the wrong mirror. So we have a distorted view of who we really are. And the things that we say are important about ourselves and the things that need to be changed are not necessarily the truth of the matter. And what we have to do is let the Holy Spirit come in and give us a true view of ourselves and a true view of our reflection. And then we can move out of that to become altered and transformed into the people that God wants us to be. And that's very important because I'm not a builder, right? But my father used to do an awful lot of building work. And one of the things that's very important if you're building a wall is a plumb line, okay? So you all know what a plumb line is. It's just a piece of string with a weight on the bottom. And it falls dead straight. So you have to build in accordance with that plumb line. Now, if the plumb line is wrong or hanging wrong, then the wall might start at the bottom looking okay. But by the time you get to the top, it's going to be completely out of kilter. And to be honest, you know, your wall's either going to fall down or the whole house is going to be built on a really, really dodgy foundation. And it might not fall down now, but it'll fall down in the future. And that what we need to do is to find the right plumb line. We need to have the right reflection. We need to be putting ourselves and looking at the right view of God in order to get our perception right, to get our reflection right, and then to grow accordance to God's view of us and not our view of ourselves. One of the problems that we have is that we're always comparing ourselves to other people. So we compare ourselves to other women. Women are very good at doing that. And actually, women can be very cruel about other women. And I always remember being told one time by a person whose opinion I respected, you know, you're putting on your makeup, you're making yourself look really nice. And this person said to me, you know, you women don't do that for us men. You do it for other women. And that's actually true. You know, we sort of say, oh, we're making ourselves all gorgeous to go out and have an evening. But actually, when girls are going out for an evening, it's other girls that they're looking at. And if the guys kind of, you know, take a wee gander at them, it's all well and good. But it's all about the pecking order and what we think about what how we talk about other women. You look at all those celebrity magazines, they're not aimed at men, they're aimed at women. And there's nothing but images of, you know, look at the cellulite on her thighs. Oh, look at her, she's obviously had a boob job. Oh, look at her, she's not looking very, you know, her stomach isn't very flat. Oh my goodness, she had a baby 15 minutes ago and her figure hasn't sprung back into shape. Is that not true? So we're very hard on each other. But we also compare ourselves in the church to other Christians. And when have you ever compared yourself to somebody else and come off better? Very rarely. 99 times out of 100, you're always making yourself, you're always thinking that you're worse. You're always thinking that you're worse. We're not good looking enough. We're not spiritual enough. We're not rich enough. We're not successful enough. But instead of all those things making us become better, we just get overwhelmed by discouragement and low self-worth and doubt, and it stunts our growth. It doesn't build us on, it stunts us. It becomes all about us and not about him. If we put, I've kind of discovered gardening a wee bit as I've got older, and I'm not a great gardener, but I have learned now that there are different kinds of compost for different kinds of plants. There's this thing called ericaceous compost, which, if I'm right, is alkaline. Any gardeners in here? Anyway, so you need to use that for the right kind of plants. So if I put ericaceous compost on, I think you use it for things like orchids. Ooh, don't quote me if I'm wrong. All those people that are watching on the internet are all screaming at me, you know, you're completely wrong. But if I use that for, say, my bedding plants in the garden or for alpines, they're going to die because it's the wrong kind of compost. And it's like I've poisoned them. Now, it looks good, and it's very appropriate and suitable for the right kind of plant. But if I put it on the wrong kind of plant, I'll kill them. And this is our problem. We sometimes put the wrong kind of compost into our lives. So the wrong kind of compost is the stuff that's all about, you know, appearance, it's all about looks, it's all about, and in the Christian life, it's all about works, it's all about being seen to do things, it's all about running around doing the right thing. It's not going to make us grow. It's going to poison us. And it's going to make us die spiritually. Religious people are very into standards and rules and protocols. Now, I'm currently working in human resources, and it's all about following the rules. It's all about legislation. It's all about clarifying procedures and making sure we treat people correctly, making sure you put the right things in the letters, making sure that you use the right terminology so you don't get caught out later down the line. And a lot of people will tell you that, you know, in a lot of the legal cases that are brought, really, it's never the truth of the matter that's the issue. It's whether you adhere to all the procedures, that you do everything in the right order. At the heart of all that, there may be a real issue, but it often gets lost by all the stuff that's going on. And when I was preparing for this, I thought, we wouldn't need equality legislation if we truly loved people with the love of God. Because if you truly loved people the way that God loves them, you wouldn't discriminate against them on grounds of their religion or their race or their gender, because you'd always be wanting to put them first. Laws are put there to make up for the fact that we can't do and live our lives out of love. Law condemns and separates. Love forgives and restores. And I see that in my workplace with the people that sometimes you want to tear your hair out over. But then God gives me an insight and says, you know what those people really need, Helen? Is they need to feel loved. And if they felt loved, do you know what? They wouldn't behave the way the way that they do. It's really not all about us, folks. And it's really all about him. Trying to live only by law is fundamentally flawed because it relies on man to make it work. That's why Jesus had to come 2,000 years ago to make the ultimate sacrifice, to satisfy the law and to set us free to be changed from the inside out and not the outside in. Too many of us look high for something we already have. Too high and low for something that we already have. And we try to earn something that we've already been given, forgetting that anything and everything we need, we already have in Christ. I'll just say that again. Too many of us look high and low for something that we already have and try to earn something we've already been given, and we forget that everything we need, we already have in Christ. When we try to adhere to the world's or the religion or religion standards, our decision-making process becomes skewed. So, this is how it works on the flow chart. You think, I need to be more attractive so people will like me. And that becomes the most important thing is how I look. And then taken to its logic conclusion is, I'm ugly, so I need plastic surgery. And that takes me round to the beginning. And in God's economy, what some of us will say is, we could say in God's economy, I feel so worthless. Or we could agree with what he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The first statement comments and focuses on us. And the other brings us into agreement with God's word, and helps us develop a mindset that's in line with his truths and not the paradigm that we find ourselves in. James 1:23, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself, and then he goes off and promptly forgets what he looks like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience. So Paul liked that metaphor of the mirror so much that he used it twice. And here he expands it again to show us that this growing in Christ requires us to make the choice over and over and over again to look to God for perspective. And the message puts it like this: whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of God, of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. I love those last two words, delight and affirmation. Who doesn't want somebody to take delight in them? Who doesn't love being affirmed? How much more do you want to change for someone who loves you just the way you are? Just the way you are. Burst into song there. They're always making fun of me at work. Every time somebody says something, I'll always find a song for them. They go, oh, Helen, don't be singing again. Please don't sing again. But you know, sometimes it's just those truths are they're almost self-evident, but we choose to almost ignore them all the time. When somebody fills themselves with good things, that changes everything about them. And when we feel loved, and when we feel secure, and when we feel at peace, and when we feel at rest, we'll want to fill ourselves with good things because we know that we deserve them. What's it the L'Oreal advert says? Because you're worth it. Because you're worth it. That's actually true. You are worth it. You're worth so much that God sent his son Jesus to die for you. If you were worthless and worth nothing, why would he have bothered? What's the point in sacrificing yourself from somebody who isn't worth it? We are worth it, folks. You're worth it. You don't need to put yourself down. God loves you so much that he sent his only son. So people, you know, Andrew's talked a lot about this in a number of weeks. People say, oh, you know, this is too much grace. Hyper grace, hyper grace. And, you know, shall we sin more so that grace can abound? What did Paul say? No. But out of that grace, we want to spend time with that person that loves us. That's why you'll want to be getting up early to read the Bible. That's why you'll want to be coming to church and spending time with other Christian men and women who spur you on in the faith, not drag you down and make you feel bad about yourself. That's why you'll want to change your habits and attitudes, because you're loved. And you know it. Because you're loved and you know it. As it's all about the girls today, sorry guys, there's a few of you here this morning, but it is kind of, you know, all about the girls today. I want to direct these next few words to you. Some of you that are here this morning who are who are watching this online afterwards, think you're a failure and there's no way back from it. And you don't necessarily give that impression to others. I think many of you appear outwardly very successful, attractive, and active in your church. But underneath, you feel that you don't quite make the grade. That you don't quite make the grade. Maybe you didn't get married, or maybe you didn't stay married. Maybe you don't like your body shape. You don't like your thighs or your hair color. Perhaps your career has stalled where your contemporaries seem to be a roaring success. God wants you to know this morning that he loves the very bones of you. And he wants you to be all that you can be. So don't be comparing yourself to what the world or religion says you should be. But look at the Son and ask him what he wants you to be. You want to pop up the next slide there, Paul? Let us then fearfully and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for all our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help. And well-timed help coming just when we need it. This is not a Christian self-help mantra. This is real truth, folks. This is real truth. We can be fearless and confident and bold because God has shown us unmerited favor that has nothing to do with us. And we can receive mercy for our failures and grace to help for every need at the right time. Don't let the behavior and the customs of this world, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We are being transformed. We are being transformed. It's not pie in the sky when you die. It's bread on your plate while you wait. It's right here, right now. You don't have to wait to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. You can be transformed right now. We are not what we do, and you are not what you do, who you know, what you've done, bad or good, what you wear, what you weigh, what you own, where you've been. You're not your marital status. You're not your ethnic origin. You're not your gender. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. This morning, I want us to challenge ourselves to be different. To be confident men and women with self-esteem that's intact, being able to take our place in the world, not by becoming like not becoming like the world, but by being like him who created us to be unique and wonderful reflections of his glory. You'll see things coming up there on the screen. It's okay, you can just keep going. These are all truths about you. All truths about every single one of you. Not because you've done anything, but because God has done it all in you and for you. So when you go back today and you're busy doing what you do, just think about where you're setting your goals and your standards today, what you're comparing yourself with, where your expectation level is, and just remind yourself that you are all these things in Christ, who has transformed you, is transforming you, and will continue to transform you, that he has great expectations of you, but those expectations are based on what he has done in you and continue to do through you and for you as you move on in your life today. So, happy Mother's Day to all the mums, but just happy Glory Day for what God is doing in us today and will continue to do in and through us. And it's why I sing your praise.